Welcome to the weekly podcast of Epworth United Methodist Church in Berkeley, California. Carolyn Talmadge, campus minister of The Edge, San Francisco State's ecumenical ministry, and also a chaplain at the Veterans Administration Hospital in San Francisco, spoke on January 13, 2008. Her sermon was titled, Superheroes. We are called individually to bring forth justice, because our efforts are transformative. The lectionary reading is Isaiah chapter 42. Verses 1 through 9, and Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17.
I like to follow obscure news, and I've noticed an interesting phenomenon going on lately. It's a movement on an international scale. Incidents within this movement have been seen in New York, London, Mexico City, and even in Nunavut, Canada. In all of those cities, there are people dressing up like superheroes, and fighting for a cause. In Mexico City, there is Super Barrio Man. By day, he is a candy vendor. By night, he dresses in scarlet and canary yellow tights with a cape and a mask and leads protests and fights injustice at City Hall. He is fighting for the working class, the poor, and the homeless, and he is quoted as saying, "I can't stop a plane or a train single-handed, but I can keep a family from being evicted." In New York, our superhero is called Terrifica, and she dons red spandex and a cape and travels the party scene of New York City. She passes out cab fare to women who are intoxicated and who might be at risk as they try to find their way home. And these two folks are not alone. If for kicks you want to follow up, go to Wikipedia, and you'll find that there are over 20 internationally known, costumed, self-proclaimed superheroes fighting for justice. Now, I have to admit, these stories make me happy. I enjoy thinking about people donning silly outfits and trying to make the world a better place. And I also like these stories because they take me back to my childhood. When I was a child, my brother and I used to love to play superheroes. In our stories, we had extraordinary powers. We fought injustice and evil wherever we saw it, and we always overcame the difficult situations. We always won. My superhero persona was Everything Woman. I was a younger sister, and I needed whatever edge I could get. And as Everything Woman, I could do everything. I never lost. Brian was Spider-Man, and I became an elephant and crushed him. With this superhero persona, there was never the possibility of loss or of hopelessness. As an adult, though, I find that injustices are often complex. Good does not always defeat evil, and at times it's difficult to even know which side is which. As an adult, I know that there are things to lose. Wearing a suit and donning a superhero persona does not guarantee justice. Justice, in fact, can seem a little hard to find these days. Each of us can list in our heads vast numbers of injustices that we experience, that we witness, and that we're complicit with daily. Injustice can feel and can be overwhelming. And the temptation to seek out superheroes, super politicians, or super leaders to solve the challenges before us can be strong. But our scripture message today from Isaiah does not call us to turn to others for the answers. It calls us to seek justice. It calls us to reach out to the poor and to the imprisoned, and it calls us to be a light unto the nations. Today's scripture calls for justice, for mishpat. This term in the Hebrew scriptures can either mean true religion or justice. Hebrew tradition suggests that justice is true religion. Caring for the poor, the dispossessed, the oppressed, and the resident alien is knowing and following God. But justice is not only its outward effect, seen in our individual acts of helping those in need or who are oppressed. Justice involves an inward change. Justice is an inward experience that moves us to bring forth a visible outward result. We are called individually to bring forth justice because our growth, our relationships, and our efforts are transformative. One example that I think has a lot of power is the public shifts in attitudes towards homosexuality in our culture over the past 30 years. The major shift has taken place in the last few decades as gay men and lesbians have come out to the people they knew. Once people realized that they had friends and family who were gays and lesbians, they were more likely to reconsider their own prejudice. A 2001 study conducted for the Human Rights Campaign found that people who knew somebody who was gay were significantly more likely to support equal rights. Equal rights in employment, in the military, and in inheritance rights, just to name a few. Even more astounding was that some studies found that simply watching positive images of gays and lesbians, specifically Will and Grace, okay, could have near the same impact. The relationship or perceived experience of relationship brought forth an inward change, dismantling homophobia. And because of this inward desire, this inward change, there was a desire for outward justice. Likewise, we are in a relationship with God and with each other in Christian community. And those relationships hopefully inspire us and push us and drive us to work for justice. In knowing Jesus, we know the oppressed. In knowing Jesus, we know those who have been imprisoned. And in knowing Jesus, we know the poor. Through our relationship with God and with community, we are inspired to work for justice. 2 weeks ago, several of my students at The Edge, which is a campus ministry in San Francisco where I work, went to a conference in North Carolina. And for one of them, it was an especially big deal because she had never been on a plane. In fact, she had never been past Nevada. But she really wanted to go to this conference. And so she faced her fears and got on the plane. And the conference had a theme. And the theme was, hope has a voice. Yours. The aim of the conference was to empower and equip students to create opportunities for change and justice in their home communities. The students who attended the conference heard from students who had survived the massacres at Virginia Tech. They heard from a young man named Sean Claiborne, who set up his own community called the New Monastics in Baltimore and is doing wonderful work in their community. And they heard from a man named Ishmael Buck, and he's the author of A Long Way Gone, Memoirs of a Boy Soldier. And when I spoke to the students, both of them said that the story of Ishmael Buck was the most moving and inspiring part of the conference. Ishmael Buck, in his address told his life in two chapters, his old life and his new life. The old life took shape when a band of young rebels engaged in his nation's civil war arrived in his small Sierra Leone town. Soon after, this 12-year-old was far away from home, from his parents, carrying an AK-47, taking drugs, and wandering around with a band of preteen hoodlums. He shared that he could not count the number of people he killed in the ensuing 2 years. He had become a brutal killing machine. And that all became to change when he was rescued by some volunteers from UNICEF, field workers, and taken to a rehab center in Freetown. And what he said to the students is, if people had given up on the children, since we had become accustomed to such violence, I would not be standing in front of you. But because there were people who believed that we're not lost completely, I'm able to come here. One particular UNICEF worker, a kind nurse named Esther, He tried to tell her the most horrible stories so that she would be afraid of him, but he found that that just made her drew closer to him. Reflecting on all the workers there, he said, "Their willingness to see us as children, even though we had become such horrible people, that changed me. We would bite at staff members and stab them, and the first thing they would say is, 'It's not your fault.' Hope has a voice," he reflected. "I had to learn to sleep again. I had to learn how to be a human being again. But people knew this was possible. And because of that conviction, I was able to find hope." Ralph Waldo Emerson says, "We are each other's encouragement. We are each other's angels. We are here to keep each other going. If we do this for one another, we can all keep going. It is one of the most beautiful compensations of this life that no man can sincerely try to help another without helping himself." My students caught that sense of hope, and with that same sense of hope, a belief in the ability to bring forth justice. Ishmael was a child soldier who had been conscripted, and his story offered a real example of hope and restoration. In our scripture today, the prophet Isaiah says that when the servant comes to bring justice, a bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. The kind of justice we hear this morning is a kind of justice that does not further oppress the oppressed, and it does not extinguish the fire of the faint. The second chance of life that Ishmael received from the UNICEF workers, this is justice. A necessary component for doing the work of justice is having a sense of hope, a belief that healing and transformation is possible. Many people did not believe that child soldiers could be rehabilitated, and many still believe that prisoners cannot be rehabilitated, or that the poor can ever escape poverty. Hopelessness stymies justice, just as hope buoys it. John Schneider, a trauma psychologist, refers to this notion as holding hope. He writes, "Perhaps the most important dimension of witnessing, particularly difficult moments, is our ability to hold hope for one another. Sometimes people say, 'I can't ever imagine recovering from this. Do you think it can ever be better? Can I make it?' To say at such times that we do believe it can be better, though all evidence seems contrary at the moment, is an offer for us to hold hope. Holding hope," he continues, "it can be a spiritual covenant that we enter with a person. Hope lies in the promise of what is possible and in the presence of each of us for the other. We are the holders of hope. As holders of hope, we are healers of a fractured world. Ours is the shared ministry of hope." This Sunday in the lectionary is referred to as Baptism Sunday. And as part of our scripture readings today, we heard the story of the baptism as Jesus, as well as the call to justice in Isaiah. And in many churches, lots of people will be reaffirming their baptismal covenant. If anyone's interested, that covenant is found in page 50 of your hymnal, but I'm going to share some pieces of it. The first time I actually heard this covenant as an adult was in my 20s at Bethany. There was a baptism at the church, and with adult ears, I listened to the vows that my parents had made on my behalf. And I want to share the ones that really stuck with me and impressed me, made an impact. One of the vows that we take is, "Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the powers of this world, and repent of your sin?" And I thought, wow. Because not only do you choose to do this, but you have to be able to see wickedness. You have to be able to see it in the world around you and identify it. It's a bold call. The next one is, "Do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?" Again, an ongoing act of resistance. And an overwhelming one in some level. Like, the more I thought about it, like, do I at every moment and every step live that? And finally, "According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world?" Incarnation. Are we willing to accept that responsibility to represent Christ in the world? Until that day, I had not really known what I had committed to, and I had never really known the large scope of what I'd agreed to do. But it somehow felt familiar and it felt good. And after church, I was commenting to a friend how much I liked our United Methodist baptismal vows and how impressed I was with our church's commitment to justice. And she smiled at me and said that she liked them too, because they reminded her of superhero vows. Just for a moment, everything woman lived. But I will say she faded fast, because unlike a superhero persona, our baptismal vows are an outward sign of a greater inward truth. We strive for justice, we have hope, and we are representatives of Christ in the world because of our grace-filled and transformative relationship with Jesus Christ. May you remember your baptismal vows, and may you faithfully bring forth justice. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you have comments, please send them to epworthberkeley@gmail.com. That's epworthberkeley@gmail.com. The website of Epworth United Methodist Church is www.epworthberkeley.org. That's www.epworthberkeley.org.